I'm very grateful for this great honor and for everybody's outpour of love. I really don't deserve it. I'd like to first begin by thanking all of the fathers for coming and sharing this occasion. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us here. And then I'd like to share a couple of advice that I was given. So every priest that I would go to, I would ask for some advice starting out. So the first piece of advice that I was giving coming here to St. Mary's was to be on time or else. I'll try my best. I should have said be early or else. The second piece of advice was to factor in some extra time in the airport. I've now been added to a list that I probably don't want to be categorized with, so give some extra time at the airport. The second is, Abuna Yonan actually told me when he first saw me in the monastery, he's like, "Abuna, you have some gray hairs." He's like, "That's great, you're going to be the elder priest, so I'm going to send you all of the difficult issues to deal with. Your beard is still longer, so these gray hairs mean nothing." The last piece of advice, which I'm going to need your help with, is to invest in a scale. Not that I need a scale, I have a scale, but what I need your help with is to keep the pounds as they are, not to increase. So I'm going to take this opportunity, if I can, to ask kindly if maybe when we go on starting to do the visitations, I know all the women are wonderful cooks and chefs, and I'm going to ask you to keep it to nothing or something very simple. I would appreciate that, and so will my belly. Next, I'd like to thank, of course, His Grace Bishop Yusuf for the many blessings that he has afforded me to be a part of. As you guys know, the church that I grew up in was in Tallahassee, which was a very small church, consisting of maybe 15 families in the early 90s. But when Amba Yusuf came to the diocese, he took great care of these small communities of which I was a part of. And it really meant a lot to me, and I think to all of those the congregation there and in all the small communities, for the great love and vigil that he gave for our care. And we were actually blessed with a priest of our own in early 2000, I think 2002, with a priest of our own, Abuna Gidigas. But prior to that, we had the blessings of maybe all of the priests in the diocese, including, of course, Abuna Lo'a, Abuna Shnuda, Abuna Athanasius, many of the priests, we had their blessing. So it really, I felt when I came into the priesthood, I felt that I was among my fathers and my brothers because I knew them from before. So I thank His Grace Bishop Yusuf for all of his love, for sending us all of the fathers, and even sending us for a time a bishop to serve with us in Tallahassee, Amba Daniel from the Bishop of Ma'adi. He served several of the feast days with us for a couple of years, and it was very humbling, you know, to realize what we had at the time. At that time we prayed in a basement that didn't have any air condition or anything. And this bishop came from Egypt and left everything that he had there to come pray with us. It was a great honor and a blessing, and I'll never forget the days that he spent with us. I also consider myself blessed and fortunate to be the son of course, His Grace Bishop Yusuf and all of my fathers, the priests, and I look forward to tapping into their knowledge and their wisdom as I begin my ministry. I'd also like to thank Abuna Yanen very much for everything that he's done from the beginning to the end. I don't want to spoil his reward, but let's just say it went above and beyond, and his love was shown from the very first time that we met. And I told God, I told him, you know, God, if this is from you, from the very first visit, if this is from you, let us feel comfortable. And Abuna not only made us feel comfortable, but made us desire to come here. And not only Abuna Yanen, but when I came to meet the congregation, all of you that I was able to have the opportunity to meet, I also fell in love with you guys as well. And to see the love that you all have, share for one another, and how you care for the Church of God, His house, it was really touching. And I even mentioned to my wife, you know, if this whole priesthood thing doesn't go through, I might actually consider moving here. So I feel honored and blessed to be among you and to serve with you and with Abuna Yanen. I really don't deserve to be among you, but as God wills. I'm just going to say something really. It's 9 o'clock. I have 2 minutes, right, Abuna? Start off on the wrong foot. I'd like to begin talking about a brief topic, asking a question to all of us: whom shall we serve? Joshua chapter 24, in the book of Joshua chapter 24, it says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in those lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So from this passage, we can extract a question that I would like to pose to all of us: whom shall we serve? Are we going to serve the Lord? Are we going to serve ourselves? Or are we going to serve the world? And if we look at this, look at Scripture, the Lord calls His people out of death and destruction, and many times in Scripture. We look at the Noah and his family and his sons and their wives. He called them out of the flood of the world. Abraham and his family, He called out of darkness of paganism. Lot and his family, He called them out of the imminent destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Moses and the Israelites, God called them out of the bondage and slavery of Egypt. David and his family from the oppression of his enemies. And finally, Joshua and the Israelites from the wilderness to the promised land. And then if you look in the opening verses in chapter 24, we read of Joshua's plea for them to serve the Lord and to turn away from the idols. But prior to that, he recalls the works of God. He reminds them what God has done for them. And in like manner, I'd like to do the same, if you'd allow me to. Are we not called to serve the God who sent His only begotten Son to dwell among us, or to dwell among us and to among His own creation? Did He not consecrate us in baptism and sent us the Holy Spirit to dwell within us through the mystery of confirmation? Does He not offer us His precious body and true blood on the altar every Sunday? Is He not the one who sustains our faith through all the waves and the heresies of this current era that we're living in, and all the persecutions that still continue in the church to this day? Is He not the one who brought us to this very hour to assemble in this beautiful house of His? Is He not the sustainer of our life? Can we doubt that it is God's plan to share heaven with us? And all we have to do is accept his invitation and cooperate with him as he transforms us into his image. These are just some simple facts about the God who we are called to serve. It so happens that the gospel of today, of this evening, reveals to us to whom the disciples were to follow and also to whom we should follow. The gospel reveals three characteristics or three characters of the one we should follow. Who is it that we're following? Who is he? What is he? And what's his occupation? What's his work? The first is, who is he? It says, "Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am?" The Lord Jesus Christ was asking his disciples. And then they replied and said, well, some said John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, or some of the other prophets. But then he turned and said to Peter, or to them, and said, "Who do you say that I am?" And this is the confession, the great confession of St. Peter. He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." If we look at the question that the Lord Jesus Christ asked initially, he says, "Who do the men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Doesn't seem like a good question. You answered it. You said, "The Son of Man." So he revealed to them his humanity. But then his divinity was revealed by God the Father through the mouth of St. Peter. So the one we are called to serve is the combination of the perfect humanity and the perfect divinity united into one person. And there has never been one, nor will there ever be one, to be united in such a manner. So this is the one whom we're called to serve, to have faith in him despite all what other people think. You know, they said the other people thought he was Jeremiah, he was John the Baptist, but despite all of that, we're called to confess the Lord as God, the Son of God and the Son of Man. So we too, despite what the world thinks about who our Lord and God is, we are called to follow him as the Son of God and the Son of Man. The second is, what is he? In the reading it says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." This is actually a very strong promise from the Lord, and in all actuality, it can only be accomplished by God himself. He says that the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. He is the only one who conquered death by his death. And this is why St. Paul says that the church is the body of Christ. If we weren't the body and we had Christ as the head, we wouldn't have victory over death. But by this union, this adoption that our Lord Jesus Christ has given us to become part of his body, we now share in this great power that he has given us. But what is the rock? What is the rock? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says, "For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ." So the Lord Jesus Christ is that rock. Yes, St. Peter confessed his faith. That rock which he confessed his faith on was the faith that this Christ, this anointed one, this Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is the one whom we are to have all confidence in, and in his power to deliver us from Satan and all his powers. The last is, what does he do? What's his work? What's his occupation? A carpenter, some might say. In the same gospel, it says, "And I say to you, you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church." So he's not a carpenter building simple houses or any kind of construction, but he is a carpenter building the churches, building his church, my church, as he says, which is the church that is within all of us and that make us all one with one another. So how will he build this church? He bestows two gifts on the church: authority and protection. authority in Matthew chapter 16. It says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So this is the authority that he has given to the priesthood and to those who serve the altar to bind and to loose that which is in heaven. So he gives the church this authority to bind and to loose. And he also gives us the protection. And this verse is in John chapter 10. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life that they should never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand," or my Father's hand. This is a great verse for us to hide in our hearts and to keep safe, that as long as we're in the hand of the Lord, no one can snatch us out of his hand. No one, including Satan himself. So the lesson here is for us to have faith in God's work in his church, and in the leadership and the direction of the church as a whole, and confidence that it is given the authority and the power of protection afforded by God, surely not by our hands, by man's hands, but by the divine hands. So, the question is, what about those who refuse and harden their hearts to accept this? Unfortunately, they forfeit themselves the grace that is freely given to them and to us through Christ. It is said of the people of Nazareth that were in the synagogue, they saw Jesus teaching and performing many wonders and signs before them. And it says something very, it kind of really struck me. It's in Matthew chapter 13, 57. It says, "Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." He didn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So their unbelief was a hindrance to him doing his mighty work. So we are called today to believe in a God who is the incarnate Logos, both man and God. We are called to believe in a God who is powerful and has given authority to his church. And if we look at what our alternatives are out in the world, atheism, unfortunately, fortunately paints a sad story with no hope of divine justice. Believing in a God who was not human and above seems logical, but I can't seem to connect with that God. He's up there, I'm down here. Where's the love? Where's the connection? But our God does not only extend his hands to us as one would a college or a colleague or an acquaintance, but was eager and willing to be clothed with our corrupt nature and perfect it in himself, then united us to himself through the mystery of mysteries, the Holy Eucharist, then present us to the Father on the last day. So now we are left to plead with the Lord and tell him, "Without you, Lord, we have nothing. Without you, Lord, we have no one." And surely at times it seems that following your commandment is difficult and burdensome and demanding. But where shall we go? To whom shall we turn but you? So the choice is left for us today. Whom shall we serve? I'll read again Joshua 24. "If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which our fathers served that were in the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So we must cooperate as one family. By God's grace, he has given us the blessing. He has blessed us with wise and loving leaders in our church. Let us submit when we need to submit humbly, offer our suggestions when required, and seek peace and unity and love between all members in the church. for the glory of his name and the expansion of his kingdom here on earth. Again, my beloved brothers and sisters, the Lord is presenting us today with the same choice tonight. Who will we commit ourselves to? The world, the Lord, or ourselves? And as Elijah said on the mountain, how long will you all falter between the two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. So, in close, I hope that all of us tonight will choose to renew our commitment to God, to follow and serve him with all of our hearts. And I sincerely ask for everyone's prayers on my behalf as I begin this ministry. To God's name be the glory forever and ever. Amen.